John's Gospel was written decades later than the Gospels of Matthew, Mark, and John. His intent is for those who read it to be assured that Jesus is the Messiah and to accept him in salvation. And John states this purpose very clearly at the end of chapter 20, read to us this morning, and the last bit of Fiona's reading. Felicity's reading, my apologies. Jesus did many other miraculous signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not recorded in this book. But these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name. John tells the great story of Jesus' resurrection through the reactions of those who respond to it, and respond with varying degrees of faith. In fact, John sets out three stories to convey these different reactions to us. The first is about the reaction of people at the empty tomb after Mary reports the tomb is empty to Simon, Peter, and John. And they start running there immediately, but not with any excited anticipation of a miracle or the recalling of Jesus' half-understood promises, but the bare news that the Lord's body had been taken and lost. We are told the disciple who Jesus loved saw the empty grave clothes, and he believed, although he still did not understand, nor Peter, that according to Scripture, Jesus had to rise from the dead. No one would have imagined or invented this uncertainty. Both men make their way home in sheer bewilderment, bewildered, half belief. Such was the reaction on that first Christian Sunday with that wonderful, wonderful news. Bewildered, half belief. The second story, too, is far too lifelike and unexpected to be invented. Mary went back to the tomb, desperately weeping and proclaiming the loss of her Lord's body. She went back to the place that she thought was the only place she could find an answer. Her tears, confusion, and the darkness overwhelmed her. Then, that instant leaped to recognition when that beloved voice spoke her name, Mary. There was an instant acceptance, belief, and the simple and central here, certainty, that would never leave her again. Her Lord was alive. I have seen the Lord, she says. The third story is the passage read to us this morning, when Jesus appears to his disciples. We can sense the atmosphere in the room where the disciples gathered that evening behind locked doors. Theirs would all have also have been a day of confusion and bewilderment, a day of rumor, separation, and incredible sadness. Then Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." "Peace be with you" was a common greeting amongst Jews at that time, and the abbreviated greeting, peace or shalom, is still used by the Jewish community today, and some of us. But here in the locked room, it also has a stronger significance when Jesus says it after the resurrection. In addition to greeting his friends, he is both encouraging them and reassuring them that God's peace would always be with them. Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." He was speaking to the disciples amidst their turmoil and fear, in the midst of their doubt, and their sense of having failed both him and themselves. The three times that Jesus offers his peace to his disciples in today's reading is closely related with the wounds of his crucifixion. The enemies of peace had already done their worst to him. They had made cowards and liars of his followers, and mocked his own words and actions. They had humiliated him in the streets. They had violated his flesh and robbed him of his life. But all their antagonism and malice against him had failed. On that evening of the first day of the week, Jesus came to his disciples and showed them that he lived, despite the worst that had been done to him. The peace that Jesus offers can be described as the confidence his followers are able to take from his resurrected appearance. His return on the first day of the week signaled the fact that his life and promises will endure. His "peace be with you" was more than a greeting to be followed by another goodbye. It was a declaration, the declaration of a persistent fact that because Jesus lives, nothing can separate his followers from him and from life in him. The disciples must have realized this, even if it was only partly instinctive then. Even when they didn't fully understand, and in realizing they received the peace that Jesus offered, the peace that only Jesus could offer. Without Jesus coming to them, they would have been left to continue alone in the darkness and fear of their locked rooms and secret meetings. We're told that Thomas was not with them when Jesus came that first time to stand among them. Thus, he doubted what they had experienced. Poor Thomas, he's singled out as lacking in belief. But like Thomas, the other disciples were not immediately transformed from their fearful state by Mary Magdalene's proclamation of, "I have seen the Lord." In other words, Jesus lives. They remain behind locked doors. Thus the belief and unbelief of the disciples is being expressed here by John. Thomas actually shares much in common with the disciples as a whole. For, like Thomas, they only responded with joy to Jesus' presence, we hear in the reading this morning, after he showed them his hands and his side. So Thomas's response when the disciples told him they had seen the Lord was not unique, but typical of the disciples. And even after Jesus' first appearance and the gift of the Holy Spirit, the disciples remain behind locked doors. The second week as well. They proclaim the Easter message, "We have seen the Lord." But this is not matched with a full understanding of what is happening. John portrays them as still grasping for belief. So that when Thomas said to Jesus, "My Lord and my God," after placing his hand into his side, Jesus told him, "Because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed." There can be no doubt this response was meant for all the disciples. Although in his gospel, John does project a future time in which the disciples will understand Jesus. "Peace be with you," Jesus said to the disciples. Although we know that none of the external circumstances of the disciples changed when they received and accepted the peace he offered them, but nothing could separate them from God's love after Jesus appeared to them. However, the disciples still had to face the same situation they faced before Jesus broke into their locked room, a room filled with fear. They still had to face the authorities who wanted an end to the followers of Jesus. They still had to risk going out onto the streets. They still had to deal with the crowds who mocked and crucified Jesus. They would still have to face personal trials and hardships, just as we do. But blessed are we, not because life will be plain sailing for us. Blessed are we, not because we will always want to smile and never have to face adversities or suffer. Blessed are we, truly blessed, because we have a God whose power is greater than our own, a God who wants to sustain us and who will sustain us with the same power that raised Jesus from the dead. The power that will bring us the inheritance that Jesus won for us on the cross. And ours is an inheritance which is imperishable, unspoilt, and unfading. Eternal life will be ours. Jesus stands among us. Locked doors cannot stop him. They can't stop him being able to enter our lives and our hearts, just as it didn't stop him ministering to the disciples locked into that room, cowering down. He re-entered their lives, proving himself to be their saviour and their living hope. God comes into our lives in the same way. No matter what we have done or where we are, the living Christ can enter our lives. Our sadness, our darkness, our fears and doubts, and even in the midst of us doing something we know is wrong. We are told that Jesus left the Holy Spirit here on earth to be our counselor until all the work is done. Another name for the Holy Spirit is the Comforter. This Comforter walks through life with us, alongside us. Do you remember that lovely story of footsteps in the sand? How there's footsteps of this one person going along, or there's two footsteps really, a pair of them are going along in the sand, and then all of a sudden they become one set of footsteps, and the person who's walking realizes that is the Lord carrying him. Jesus was denied by Peter three times, but he still made him the rock on which his church was built. Through his death and resurrection, Jesus offers us God's forgiveness and salvation, and this free gift is offered to everyone. We only have to open our hearts and remember this wonderful gift by giving him ourselves daily. Daily we submit to the Lord. For he stands here beside us, offering us the Comforter, the Holy Spirit, to make the changes we need if we will only let him. Let us hear daily the risen Christ saying to us, "Peace be with you." Amen.